Hey, what's up? This is Joey Allen from Warrant, and you are on the Road to Rock. Turn it up.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the Road to Rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, leading you down the highway to hell, Clint Switzer.
Jack, what's up, man?
Hey, dude, how are you? Did it work?
It did. It's working. How about it?
How are you, man?
How about technology, man? How's it going?
It's crazy, dude. It's just, it's a new world, right?
It is. And I wish I would have invested in Zoom, you know, about a year and a half ago. But alas, here we are. Much better way to do interviews. It gives you the vibe of the in-person feel. I love it. And it's cool to see you today, man. How's everything going?
Really good, man. Everything is awesome. Really, really good. You? Well, it's
wonderful. It's football season. We're off and running. I've got concerts coming up. The world is not so bad. I'll tell you that. Well, I can't speak for everyone, but you know what? Here in Missouri, I live in Missouri. Where are you at right now?
I'm in lovely New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay. Well, you know what? New Jersey is lovely and I need to get back out there. It's been probably 10 years since I've been. And maybe when Kiss does their final show and it's going to be at the Meadowlands, maybe that's my next trip. How about that?
You don't think it'll be the Garden, huh? You think the Meadowlands?
I think they're going to do one of the stadiums. Maybe Shea, the new MetLife or whatever. Or maybe the Meadowlands. It's got to be one or the other, right? The Garden, yeah, they did that.
It's kind of weird they're not going to do the Garden, you know? It's like, or Yankee Stadium or something like that.
That could work, too. The Garden, they'd probably have to do a series of shows, which they'll probably do. So that, you know, we know how Kiss is. This tour is supposed to end.
2028.
Right, exactly. Gene Simmons will only be 80, and he'll still be able to put the boots on. Jack, I'll tell you, this is such a pleasure, man. I've been introduced to Brothers in Arms by the great people at Chipster PR. I'm so excited with what you're doing because we're really good friends with Andrew Freeman, who's been on this show before. So just kind of set the scene, Jack, for our listeners that aren't aware of what's going on with Brothers in Arms. This is sort of your baby, your creation, and it looks like it's really coming to fruition. The release of the new album is only about a week away, and it's got to be an exciting time for you, man. The album's called Sunset and Clark. We're all excited for it, brother.
You know what, brother? Thank you so much. Honestly, yes, this was my baby. I came up with the idea of it all. But honestly, the guys involved with this record, they have taken it to a whole new plateau, man. They're Andrew, Keith, Carl. I mean, they're just amazing musicians, amazing people, amazing artists, songwriters. I mean, literally, for people that don't know what this is all about, this record is a, you know, it's almost like getting into the DeLorean and going back in time. And seriously, it's 1984. I'm in LA at the Strip handing out flyers. Come see my band. Or I'm in New York City at L'Amour's. It really is a trip down 70s and 80s when, you know, the music just owned the scene, dude. MTV. I mean, anywhere you turn, radio stations. It was like literally I used to come running home from school to watch the countdown to be like nine, like, you know, Winger and Bon Jovi, and then there'd be Madonna. That would be it. And it was just, I just had this dream, like when everybody was depressed this last 18 months, I wanted to do something fun and make people smile again. That's really how it all began.
Well, let's talk about the first single, which was Last to Know, featuring our good friend, Andrew Freeman on vocals from Last in Line. In fact, hell, Andrew, he's out, he's everywhere. He's like, he's the new guy that's just around the scene. You know, he played some shows with Firehouse of all people.
I know. Year, I saw the videos. He
which is killer.
Ass,
yes.
Killer.
And of course, you know, he plays with George Lynch. I guess I can't say Lynch Mob anymore. Electric Freedom. But Andrew's the man, is he not?
Yeah. I mean, he honestly, dude, I know Andrew, you know, he's an East Coast guy.
Yeah.
So We come from the same mold, you know, ball breaker, you know, we're good friends. But Andrew to me is a brother, man. I've known Andrew 30 plus years probably. And I've always been a fan of his vocals. I've always been a fan of him as a person. And we've done stuff together, like, you know, NAMM jams and stuff. But we always said, like, I go see Last in Line all the time because I think those records are great. Vivian rips on those records. And I mean, I've seen Andrew with Hurricane. I've seen him with George. I've seen him with everybody. And honestly, man, he just killed it. He killed it on the two songs he's on.
It's insane. I love it. I love what I'm hearing. This is so tremendous. And for you, would you say, and this may be simplifying it too much, but that this project, was it born out of kind of COVID stuff? Have some time to get this together? What was kind of the genesis?
So I don't mean to like correct anybody, but I want to get this first point across. A lot of bands do projects. You know, there's a lot of bands out there with like this guy, that guy. This is a band. This is a family. And I want people to know that there will be many more of these. These guys are not hired guys to sing a song and say, thanks a lot. See ya. This is a family event. And what started it was, like I said, man, I wanted to do something fun. Like I was locked in and I just fell in love with my guitar again. And I wanted to work on my craft. And I literally, that's what I did. And honestly, again, like I said, I'm a small part of it. Yeah, I come up with some riffs, but these guys all took those riffs, took these hooks. They wrote, every singer wrote their own melody lines, their own lyrics. I did not tell a single person what to play. Everybody's an individual, and everybody is a member of this band.
I love that. I love the clarification there. This is going to be something that have you guys, I know this is probably premature. It's a hard question to ask. It's a hard answer. But do you?
Yes.
What's the live situation? Are you guys talking about live shows? Yes.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that.
Hell yes.
January, we're talking about it because of NAMM out in LA, but that got moved to June now. So unfortunately, in my area, I know in California, I know in Vegas, numbers are kind of going up again. So for us to put something together and have to cancel it, it just wouldn't be great right now. So we're going to wait to 2022. I talked to Keith St. John last night. I know he's trying to work out maybe doing the Montrose Bash in June. If we do that, we'll try to do dates around that. And we're definitely going to tour, man. We're talking to agents now. And it all depends. Like, what's cool about this is we go out and play shows. Say only Andrew and Keith is available for these shows. So we do the whole record. Those guys will sing other singer songs, and that's awesome because Paul Sciarratino, Nick Walsh, I mean, any of the guys, I don't want to leave anybody out because, I mean, Jesse Damon from Silent Rage, I mean, Steve Overland, I mean, and I have to say, I do not want to forget somebody I really, really love as a person is Todd Pool from Roxy Blue. That dude is one badass singer, man. And we could do different areas. And then, you know what? Say we play the Midwest, we'll do some Roxy Blue songs. You know, we play LA, we'll do some, you know, we'll do some Silent Rage. We'll do some of Andrew's history, some of, you know, Keith's history. That's the way you do it. You know, you like, it'll be cool. And we'll do some Zeppelin, we'll do some Montrose. It'll be a lot of fun, dude. Fans will like it.
That's what this is. It's a lot of fun. Speaking of a lot of fun, the new video, which just came out a few days ago, is Bitch is Crazy. It really throws me back, man, because I'm someone that when I grew up, I'm only 37. I didn't live the scene, but I adore it from the 70s and 80s.
Awesome.
Right?
Awesome.
But I, you know, to me, this brings me back. I remember when I see the visuals and I see what this is and I see the motorcycles and I see the fun, it totally harkens me back to everything that I love about music. I'm a visual music fan. I grew up listening to Motley Crue, Wasp, Kiss, Alice Cooper, all of it. This is visual. This video really puts you in the mood and the moment, and the reception has to have been great so far. The YouTube comments are hysterical and so positive. Bitch is Crazy. It's going to be hard to top that one, man. This is great stuff.
Well, I just want to get this out there too. I want everyone to know this. You guys should tip your hat to Keith St. John. He did the video. He did the concept. He edited it all. He busted his ass for 2 weeks, man. That dude's a genius. And literally, I got a little slack already from like the movement today. Like, oh, you know, You can't put down women. Dude, we're not putting down women. It's just tongue in cheek. It's fun. Guys are crazy. It's just a fun video. And I know people are like, well, that's messed up. Dude, it's supposed to be fun. And you know what? Like David Lee Roth said, worry about it when they're not talking about you. Good press, bad press. It's all awesome. So, I mean, he did a great job, dude. He wrote, I mean, he had a lot to do with the production of those songs he was on too. He's a musician's musician. People should check out a lot of stuff Keith's done. Burning Rain with my dear friend, Doug Aldrich. Those records are badass, dude. Badass. I mean, I just want people to know that nobody did anything in that video. Keith did it all. He put it together. He visualized it. And that is pretty amazing.
It is. And it's entered my top five songs about bitches, right up there with Back on the Bitch by Spread Eagle, Burn Bitch Burn by Kiss, and Back on the Bitch, or Bitches Back by LA Guns. It's up there with all those, man. It might have overtaken them. It's great.
That's all, dude. Way to go, Tracy. I love Tracy Guns, baby.
Oh, man, this is so much fun. I love when I see bands emerge like this, especially, Jack, after all you've done in your career, the great run with Seven Witches, tremendous. And I got to ask you about this because I talked about being a fan of visual bands, did I not? I know this is a very small part of your career, but the tour you did with Lizzie Borden, I'm such a Lizzie Borden mark. It's ridiculous. I think you came on board around the Appointment with Death tour. Just talk about how that came about and what it was like working with Lizzie, because I'm such a fan.
Oh, dude, Lizzie's, he's just the genius, dude. He's great. How it all happened was I was playing guitar for Joey Belladonna, and we did a couple of shows with Lizzie. And I've always loved Lizzie. I mean, I love his solo record. I mean, the great Joey Vera's on that record. It's amazing. And, you know, I was saying, it's a small circle. Like, and Lizzie called me up and said, hey, listen, we're doing the Metal Blade anniversary show in Worcester, Massachusetts. And he goes, would you like to play guitar with Ira? And I know Ira forever, man. He's a brilliant player. So they flew me out to LA. I actually stayed with the Veras while I was out there. And it was just great, dude. They were so cool with me. They liked that I sang backups. They knew I had a heart for it. So I did two little runs with those guys. It was awesome, dude. And honestly, and Martin was playing bass.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And I mean, you know, Joey Scott, what an awesome drummer. Talk about visual. He had that crazy mohawk. Dude, it was like playing with Alice Cooper and then some, because Lizzie is such a visionary, like how he wants things. He's so particular. It was cool, man. It was a good learning experience too, because I never really did that theatrical type of thing. So it was cool. And I would always, a phone call, Lizzie knows, anytime he ever needed me, call me. We're all still all great friends.
Let's do it. The last album was really good, and I'd love to see some more kind of come from that. Jackie, I've been around you on a Zoom call for about 10 minutes. You seem like the most laid back, cool, fun guy to be around in the world. So let me ask you this. With all that you've done with Seven Witches, you've played with Joey Belladonna, who I just saw freaking Anthrax at Rocklahoma. It was amazing just last weekend. How important at this stage of your life, at this stage of your career, that you play with and that you're around and that you're, you know, musically creating with people that you get along with and that you like? How important is that at this stage of your life?
You know what, man? I'm going to say this. There's no money in this anymore. Like, you know, if I could feed my kids and keep a roof over my house, I'm the happiest guy in the world. For me right now, it sounds kind of weird when I say this, like if it was about the money, I wouldn't be here. It's really about the people I play with and the friends I've made. So when I look over and I see like a Keith, or I see a Lizzie, or I see an Andrew on stage, or dude, John Beauvoir, I'm playing guitar for Al DeNova now. When I look over and see these guys, it's more money than I could ever have imagined I made in my life, just to make this family that I've made and to play with these guys, man, I am so rich. It's ridiculous.
To me, that is so wonderful, but it also speaks negatively to how the music business has turned to the point where it is now, where you have to say, no, there should be money to be made. You know what I'm saying? Like there should be, and I don't know what the answer is. I'm not, some expert, but man, you guys deserve this. This is your livelihood. You're, a tremendous guitarist. Everybody on Brothers in Arms is a master at what they do.
They're ridiculous, dude. They're great. But you know what, dude, you got to remember something that people forget this. You're a little bit younger, but in the '70s, and like, I learned a lot from John Beauvoir because he was in the Plasmatics. He was in Crown of Thorns. He wrote a bunch of Kiss songs. He was explaining to me the punk movement and the rock movement. It was always underground. And, you would get in a van and you would tour all over and get a pizza for dinner. And honestly, I think that has happened again, that it's still underground. But you know what? It just says to you, music, rock and roll, metal, hair metal, whatever you want to call it, is like a cockroach and a Twinkie. You can't kill it. You never will. So us guys are out there, and we will play for the love of playing, because we're never gonna let this horse die, dude. So, trust me, dude, we make some money when we have to. We pay our bills. Like I said, a lot of us really, it's really in here, man. It's really in the heart. It really is. And you know what? When someone like you takes your time out to talk to me, you don't have to talk to me, dude. There's so much, many more things in the world going on. But that says to me, people still care. And they will always care about this music. You will never kill Led Zeppelin. You will never kill the Doors. It's never going to happen. You will never kill the memory of Randy Rhoads and Ronnie Montrose and Eddie Van Halen. You're just never going to do it. A million people will come along 20 years from now, but that foundation will always stay there.
I do. And for me, being younger, it's been sobering the last probably 6 or 7 years, just the thought that your heroes don't last forever. I mean, I was at the very last AC/DC show with Brian Johnson, and they may play again. I hope they do. But within a 1 year period, I was at the last Motley Crue concert. I was at the last Twisted Sister show in America. We lost guys like Tom Petty. We've lost David Bowie, Prince, Lemmy died it's a sobering thought, but what you're saying, I think, stands so true, is that it is about this music staying alive, and it will never die no matter what. I think that's the important thing.
I agree, man. For me, I lost a few really close friends the last year. I mean, I don't know, a lot of people know this. My first band was called Frostbite, my first real signed band. And the amazing Jeff LaBar from Cinderella, he came to my home with my mother. My mother made him pasta, and he produced the first record. He was my first guy to really believe in what I was doing. And I hope his son Sebastian hears me right now. His dad was the coolest guy, man. I will never forget Jeff. And I know Jeff's looking down. He's awesome, bro. He took me under his wing, and I miss him as a player. I miss him as a person. So, but his music will never die. Cinderella, Tom Kiefer will keep that music going, and he'll keep that spirit alive.
Very well said. So true. Jeff was amazing. I love everything Cinderella did, and you're so right about that. Jack, before we let you go, got to make sure everybody knows kind of where they can get, they can pre-order the album. It's at decoentertainment.com/brothersinarms. There's merchandise bundles. You can get the album. There's all sorts of things. And this is so cool for fans, because these days it's almost like you got to get creative, right? And now you can get a shirt, you get the album right there on the website, Deco Entertainment. That's DEKO entertainment.com, right?
Yep. And you also can go to Deco's Facebook. They're a great label, man. They have been so supportive of us. Like, seriously, if bands or artists are looking for a home, Deco is the place to go, man. They give a crap about their artists. And also, Brothers in Arms has a Facebook now. And also, check out the other guys. They have Facebooks. They're promoting it. I don't mean to push people to buy the record, but you got to see the artwork inside the record. It's like the 80s. Remember when you went out to the store, you went to Tower, or wherever you went, your local store, and bought a record, you opened up the sleeve and you looked at the pictures, you see what the gear that, when I picked up when I first got my first Kiss record, Kiss plays Marshall and Gibson because they want the best. That's the kind of concept it is. It's very visual, the record, and a lot of fun too.
The cover's awesome. I can't wait to see the rest of the fold and everything.
It's cool, man. You're gonna like it.
Jack, I'm just, you know, every few months or so, I do a lot of interviews. You know, we had Dee Snider on a couple weeks ago. I talked to so many artists this summer. He's great, but you know what? Every now and again, someone comes along that I of course know who you are, but had never met before, had never interviewed before. So it's like a connection gets formed where I feel like this calling to like, hey, next time Brothers in Arms are playing anywhere in the Midwest, I got to get there and I got to see you and I got to meet you because I feel like you're one of the good guys, man. And I truly mean
Thank
that.
You.
And I
Thank
hope we can catch up soon here in 2022, brother.
Hey, thank you so much again. Safe to you and your family, dude. And listen, thank you for doing what you do, because without you guys, we wouldn't have what we have.
Well, that goes both ways, brother. Thank you so much. Best of luck. Stay safe and stay healthy, man. Thank you so much.
God bless, brother. Be good, man.
You bet.